shit from Philadelphia!
You're gonna hate me because I come to your town and we beat your team.
You're now tuned in to one of the realest sports podcasts for Kentucky basketball.
Three in the air, good again!
And football.
The Kentucky defense steps up again.
Just an opinionated Kentucky sports fan podcast.
Maybe that's a Kentucky accent.
With Jay Hayes and JD Hall. Woo! This is what we do.
Let's go!
Religiously Kentucky.
What is up, Big Blue Nation? I'm your guy, Jay Hayes, and he is...
His voice of reason, J.D. Hall.
And...
the coolest motherfuckers on the planet.
Religiously Kentucky, joined by a special guest today. Back is your guy, Jack Pilgrim. What is up, Jack?
Not a whole lot. How are you guys doing?
We're good.
We're doing good. Good. Thanks for joining us again.
Yeah, absolutely. Man. Here last week, Jack Pilgrim has been talking some shit on Twitter about... out some basketball stuff, like basically on Twitter. This is Jack Pilgrim.
Hit me on the court and I'm troubled. Last week messed around and got a triple double.
I mean, will Jack Pilgrim get buckets?
We'll see. This is gonna be an awesome opportunity. I'm really, really excited about it. I've been training the last couple weeks, and we're gonna see what happens.
Yeah, man. I mean, are you going in with the thought of, man, I'm getting mine?
There's an age requirement,
yes,
and it's minimum of 30 years old, and I am not quite there yet.
Right.
So they kind of brought me in with the hey, don't try to do too much. They're paying for this big experience, and I don't, you know, I played a little bit. I'm not great. I'm not good even. I hold my own whenever I play. I'm not going to be going out there looking to get a buy. I'm making fun on Twitter, but
right.
I'm just going out there to have fun, enjoy the experience,
and that's what it's about, having fun, you know.
Yeah. I'm going to be a good teammate. I want to lead the event in assists.
Oh. I saw you put on Twitter you had the ultimate green light.
that was somebody,
I don't know if it was you or somebody replying to you with the Philip Seymour Hoffman from
Along Came Polly.
Make it rain.
Let it rain. Yeah, that's going to be me. That's going to be me out there.
That's good. That's
awesome. Off the top of the backboard.
That's not the goal. If I go out there and I get 8-8 every game, maybe 2 turnovers a game, and you know, I think I'm going to be straight. I think I'm going to go for 8-8-4-2. That's going to be my nice average stat line. If I get that, I'm straight. I'm ready to go.
I was reading about it, and I was like, you said the age requirements. I was like, 30. Oh, Jack's not 30.
Nope. Well, they gave me a call, and they were like, hey, man, we got this event going. I didn't even know it was happening. They were like, yeah, we got this fantasy camp going, and we'd love for you to participate. And I was like, isn't this like 30 to 55-ish range? And they were like, yeah, but, you know, we always like having somebody there to you know, promote it and be, right, you know, put posts on Twitter and just, right, you know, for branding purposes, get people there next year and just kind of put a positive spotlight on it. So I was like, yeah, I mean, I'll do whatever. I mean, this is shots laid up at Joe Kraft Center at midnight.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's a dream come true for a dude like me. So yeah, I couldn't turn down that opportunity for sure. I'm gonna enjoy every second of it.
Well, how many years are you missing that minimum age by?
5. 25.
Oh,
shame.
So, I feel not horrible. Not horrible.
We're almost like high school senior age past his age right now.
Yeah.
So, I know you are, Jay.
Yeah,
you are.
I mean, like,
you passed that.
Thanks for calling me out. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. Old soul, though. I can talk 70s, 80s, 90s music with you.
Nice.
I can talk old basketball stats. I'm a historian on that front. So just don't even put an age on it. Age is only but a number.
Right. And this is a good event. And it's just, you know, having a little fun on Twitter. And we wanted to have fun with that. But good luck to you, man. Do your thing. Assist. I like it. Hopefully, you know, I don't know if I told you that Sevier Wheeler, I got him predicted for what'd I say, 17, JD, 17 assists,
yeah,
in a game
so
this year.
To break the single game record.
So I got faith in Jack Pilgrim, too. I think he's going to do his thing.
Hey, I might get 15 turnovers on that 17 assists, but I'm gonna be swinging the rock, let me tell you.
That's a positive assist to turnover ratio.
Oh, right. There you go.
Gotta do.
If I was in an event like this, I'd end up blowing out an ACL or rupture an Achilles or something. So
right. So I'm glad glad that this is popping off this weekend. What is not popping off is the Players First Fan Fest at Rupp Arena. What is up with that?
Yeah, so that was something that, look, if we're being totally honest, the promotion for it has not been great. That's something that was announced at the last second. You had to go to some random ESPN guy's Instagram page to figure out any of the details. When he was given the details, he gave the wrong day, the wrong time. So it was kind of one of those deals that I think they knew from the start they were kind of at a disadvantage because the promotion just hasn't been great. UK is not legally allowed to promote it because it's pure NIL stuff. So I think they have been in the process of looking for ways to promote it a little bit better. So I think Matt said it on the radio a couple days ago that there is something brewing on that end of things that they're going to kind of hit reset on that and potentially go through another larger outlet that could help promote some of these things. So that's something that's kind of been working behind the scenes. And there's also a scheduling conflict. I know the SEC has some rule that they have to be, student athletes have to be on campus for 7 days leading up to any team organized event, something like that. And this is, by definition, this was considered that. So I think that would be 6 days. I think most of them arrived on Monday for their first day of classes. At least that's what they're saying, and that's where they're pushing. So I think they didn't meet that SEC requirement to do an event like this. So it was going to be postponed anyway. So they just decided to hit reset on it and get some better promotion and get some money in these kids' pockets, because I think they would have just been upset with the total number of fans and attendance and all that. This was the right move.
So it wasn't necessarily a scheduling conflict with the players involved. It's like individually they had something else that was going on. It was more or less the SEC rule where they weren't meeting that 7 day requirement, and that was the scheduling conflict.
Some of the players got in Saturday, I think, and I think that would have met the requirement. But there were a couple that weren't able to get in right until. And you know, if you're paying for an experience like this, you want Ty Washington. I'm not saying he wasn't one of them. By definition, if you're paying for something and you want to see Ty Washington play, you want to see Xavier, you want to see the whole group participate. And as things stood, the entire team was not going to be able to participate, and it just wasn't. The timing was not right. They tried to fit it in too soon. I understood why they were wanting to get money in these kids' pockets as soon as possible, and I think on their end they were kind of hoping that it would be a bigger turnout as things rolled out, just because UK fans are crazy and they're known to do crazy things like that. But this one just wasn't the right one, and I think that when there's a little bit better organization, better PR in terms of what this event actually is. They say 3-point contest, dunk contest, skill competition, and outside of that, they're like, yeah, we might do some more activity. It wasn't selling tickets, and there weren't enough butts and seats, and this was just something that they needed to kind of hit reset on and kind of go back to the drawing board and see how they're going to approach this. This can be a very successful event if they do it the right way, and I think they're looking to do that. So, keep your ears peeled for the next couple days of more news on that.
Okay, because I was going to say the word is postponed, not canceled, right?
It sounds to me like Jack knows something.
Jack knows something.
If you were to ask me, I'd kind of guess September 18th weekend at Rupp Arena, something, maybe even KSR related. That could be something that we hear, and give or take maybe Friday being the announcement date of all the stuff coming out.
That's it.
We'll leave it at that.
Yeah, leave it right there. So switching lanes. Kentucky football is about to kick off. Hope everyone has their Oat Strong shirts. Support that. Kentucky football is right around the corner, and a little trouble with Kentucky football and 6 players. Is it more than a frat fight?
Oh, that's a loaded question. It depends. It depends on who you ask.
Right.
There are 2 sides to every story, and one side is telling you that there's something very clear that happened. The other side is telling you that there's something very different different, but also clear on their end that happened. And I think probably the truth is going to fall somewhere in the middle. I think both sides are, you know, trying to make their side look a little bit better. I think both sides were in the wrong on a couple key details. And I think that, in my opinion, I'm a man of second chances. I think that there's, you know, there are some people that are kind of pushing for these kids to get kicked off the team. Their football careers ended. This is the biggest mistake we've ever seen in our lives. They need to, you know, they need to be put in timeout forever. Like, there's some people that are kind of pushing that. There's some that say, you know, they're just kids. They're, you know, let kids be kids, give them a slap on the wrist, move on. I think that, you know, I'm a guy of second chances. I think that there is a path for them to, you know, if they are guilty of some of the things that they're being accused of, I do think that a punishment is necessary. Maybe a, you know, slight suspension. I think that Stoops has good judgment on handling things like that.
Right.
And I do think that there is a happy medium to be found somewhere. I don't think that these kids' careers need to be ended. You know, I've done a whole lot worse in my life.
Oh, yeah.
If I got cast off to the shadows every time I made a mistake, then I would have been screwed a long time ago. So that's just me. I'm with you there. I'm wanting more details to come out and let the legal process play out, like I am with most significant situations, you know, legal incidents that we see on a day-to-day basis.
Right.
I mean, if we're being honest, it's not a good look for the football program, because
true,
what happened with Boot Knight and the other coach in the offseason with the DUI and the assault charges, you know. So I mean, obviously they were both of those charges were dropped, and you know, they're not being charged with it anymore, but it still makes people think, what the hell is Stoops doing with the program? You know, is he really running a program that's disciplined? But again, you go back to Jason Hatcher, Lloyd Tubman, you know, guys like that. He kicked them off the team when they had issues that were serious. So it's not like he doesn't have a history of actually punishing kids and kicking them off the team when they do stuff. I think what's going on with this situation, and to be honest, in today's climate where everybody's got a cell phone, everybody can take video, everybody can take pictures, everybody's on Snapchat, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, you would think something from that night would have come out from somebody that was there.
Say
now,
geez.
I may be just be talking crazy about that, because I know if it's an evidence, if the video has been confiscated for evidence, we're not going to see that. But it's going to get out there before that happens if somebody's taking video of it. And if these players really charged in the way that they say they charged in, hitting everybody, circling people outside and attacking them outside, if all that stuff really happened the way it happened, somebody would have been taking video.
Say cheese.
And somebody would have been like, hey, look what these football players are doing from the University of Kentucky. And it would have been everywhere. It would have been huge news, especially because of who was involved from the University of Kentucky. You know, so I think, like you said, the truth is somewhere in the middle. They weren't charged with assault. So was it
another red flag?
Was it really as bad as what those frat boys are saying happened, where they just came in and were just beating everybody? I don't know. You know, I'm just like you. I want to wait till it all
and was
out.
Cleared by the University of Kentucky.
They were cleared by the university. The frat was put on probation for violations of whatever. So you've got two groups of people that think they're the alpha dogs on campus, football players and the frats. They're going to butt heads. They're going to fight. It happens every year at every school, right? So as more information comes out, I think it's going to end up being Vito's not charged with the wanton endangerment, because you got to prove that there was a gun involved. And so far from what everybody said to me that I've talked to, that's a sticking point. They can't really prove that there was a gun there.
It's hearsay. Yeah.
Right. So like, even I even had somebody that said he was at the party say, yeah, it happened, but they can't prove it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, if they can't prove it, then who's to say it really happened? Was he holding something? Did he have something that looked like a gun? Did they think, you know, it was dark outside, because it was apparently pointed outside. So you're not going to be able to tell unless it's right in your face or whatever that he had something in his hand and what it was. I'm not saying it's okay what happened, because it's not. You got to be smarter than that when you're a football player. But it happens. And if what happened from the frat side, instigating the argument and instigating the fight happened, I can see why they'd be upset. Like, I understand everything. Just wait for it to play out. Let it go through the whole process. And people jump into these conclusions that they need to be kicked off the team. Where would Lynn Bowden be if Stoops had kicked him off the team for all the times that he messed up?
Absolutely.
You know, he wouldn't have played in the Virginia Tech game if Stoops had punished him for what happened before the game, which was 100% in Stoops' right to say, hey, you're not playing.
I will say, you know, what Vito was looking at the worst of it. Marijuana charge does not help.
But it's not new. Yeah, it happened in January.
He got probation for that, but it's
right,
what I'm getting at, it's one thing. Now it's another thing. And if there's a pattern there.
Sure.
Hey, if every kid that's on the football team got pulled over, how many of them are you going to find weed in their vehicle?
Stay off the weed.
Who are you, Snoop Dogg?
I'm not saying it's okay. I'm not saying it's okay as far as that situation.
Right.
But it's not like he's a one-off and he's the only one doing it. I'm not that stupid to think that
smoke weed every
half
day.
The team's not out there smoking bud every day.
Oh, hey, they're smoking it up.
I mean.
But, Jack, where do you see this situation going with these players? Tisdale probably getting the worst of it.
Okay. Well, there are a couple of things that JD said. It kind of going from top to bottom about just the look of the program itself, because right. I know there are a lot of Louisville fans that are like, everybody's getting right. on to us about how bad our program is. Look, this it's practically hell on earth with what UK is going on. Look, I think Jovan Bognight, I think his was absolutely inexcusable, and I would have – that is – I think the – when you have – those are the role models. The coaches right. on the team are – those are the ones that have to go into the homes of these recruits and talk to these parents and have these heart-to-hearts like, hey, I have your son's best interest at heart. And how can you look at a mother in the eye and say, hey, I'm going to make sure your kid is okay when he's drunk driving with half a handle of vodka underneath his seat and, getting – apparently, you read that police report was just – I mean, horrible. I mean, it was detail after detail was just gross. And that, I think, would have been something that if he got fired for that, I would not have blamed Stoops in the slightest. I probably would have fired him if I were in that state. And then immediately afterward with the Berezowitz thing, not a lot of details came out about that, but apparently there was a video of that. And I thought that would be something that would have come to light. And if that, I personally didn't see it, but if that was as kind of bad as some people said that it was when they saw the video, I would have fired him as well. When you have people in leadership roles
right.
that are in charge of 17, 18, 19 year old kids, I think that is 10 times, more significant than a stupid frat fight on a, Friday night when everybody's out, everybody's drinking. Like, okay, this is going to go to court today. I think that at the preliminary hearing, they cast it off and said it's going to go to the grand jury. And I think that the whole point of that was basically they're betting on the grand jury not doing anything with it because right. there's not enough details or not enough evidence. You bring in, you call in witnesses and half of them are going to be drunk from that night. If how much evidence is there, like JD, like you said earlier, my biggest thing is, that video that just leaked yesterday of that, I think Moore High School in Louisville, that fight right. that was in the hallway. There were three or four different angles of the same fight. How are you going to tell me that if it's a random
same thing didn't happen
right yeah. same exact thing that there's right. not there's not one single photo same and thing. There's right. apparently one black eye photo that's somewhere right. out there in the abyss right. but only Louisville media people have it, which, get out of here, that's nonsense right. But there's just so many things in this case that you could just poke holes in a lot of the arguments, like how much drinking was involved, why is there no evidence, why were there no assault charges, why were there so many people, because I had four or five different people in that frat reach out to me and say, hey, we got to get these kids kicked off the team, you need to write a story on this, you need to cover this, this is like actively going out of their way, and one of them specifically said, I want this kid kicked off the team, almost like a vindictive there's just a lot more going on here than a cut and dry, gun case. This kid did XYZ. He needs to get kicked off the team. Like there's just so much excess stuff going on with you in this that I really need to see the legal process play out. And look, if Vito did, if Vito pulled a gun out and there's evidence of it and video leaks of it or whatever, okay. then if a significant punishment is needed to be handed down at that point, then Stoops, I wholeheartedly agree with you. I've heard some things about, a couple things leading up to this, the weed charge, I think he ran a stop sign, right. Charge or whatever, but there were a couple things leading up to this. And I've heard some things in the background that there are some players on this team that Stoops needs to, kind of reel in a little bit. But he has 100 kids in his locker right. room between, right. Walk-ons and scholarship players. You can't hold every individual, you can hold them accountable, but you can't babysit 100 kids as opposed right. to, your 10, 15 staff members. I think there's just such a disconnect between people that are kind of combining all of the off-season issues that I think that the coaching staff issues, I think those were absolutely valid. And if people want to, you know, complain about that and say that that's, you know, inexcusable, wholeheartedly agree with that. But I was on UK's campus. I saw a lot of issues and incidents that happened very similar to this one, 9 times out of 10, and it resulted, you know, it amounted to nothing. And I think that this, right, at the end of the day, can amount to nothing. They might miss the first game or two because of, you know, the legal process playing out, the timeline of all that. But I just don't envision a scenario where any of the 6 kids get kicked off the team or anything significant happens, you know, legally, especially going to jail or anything like that. I think it's going to be a slap on the wrist, handle it internally. And I think that's what it should have been the whole time. I think this could have been handled internally. And the fact that this needed to be this big catastrophic thing, I think it's just, right, it's blown out of proportion. I think this could have been handled internally.
Right. And Stoops kind of talked about it the other day, yesterday, 2 days ago, where he said he doesn't plan on them missing much time and everything being okay. So if we can say one thing about Stoops, he's going to let the process play out. Mm-hmm. As much as he can, like even with the coaches, like I can understand not doing anything right away. Sure. If they would have continued with the charges and everything, firing the coaches and get rid of them. But you got to let all the whole process play out before you take action, unless it's so bad you really can't. And it's to the point where there's no denying what happened. Mm-hmm. You know, so these people that say, you know, it's a Stoops and leadership problem too. Like you said, there's 100 players on the team. You can't watch all those players all the time to make sure they're doing the things that they need to do. Even with your coaching staff, they're adults. You know, you're not going to babysit them and micromanage their lives outside of the facilities either. So we just need to let everything play out. And if we're being honest, this happens in just about every football program in the country,
right?
Especially any football program that's starting to build up or be successful, because
they're in college
and great football players, they always live on that edge all the time. They have this edge about them that makes them great on the field, but also may cause issues off the field at times. Alabama has the same issues with players. You know, they just had a kid a couple of years ago was shot in the leg, you know, so, you know, it happens everywhere.
Right.
So,
and the weed charge, is that still a charge? Like,
it is, but it's just,
we're so behind now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you know, they're going to bring up the pattern with Vito. So,
right.
But it is what it is. Hopefully we get through that. Kentucky football begins, and I'm excited for the season. I can't remember what Jack said last time we talked to him. How do you feel about this season?
I thought he said 4-8.
No, he didn't say 4-8.
Not me.
I think he said 10-2.
I might have. If you heard me say 10-2 somewhere, yeah,
you know,
I believe you.
Of course, I'm out here spreading rumors. Jack Douglas. No, but how do you feel about this season? Are you excited about it? Are you pumped up? I mean, it's kind of in the air that this football team, it wants it, and it's a feel-good right now.
Yeah, I was kind of one of those people that I was in wait-and-see mode. Just kind of, I needed to see it with my own two eyes to see, is the quarterback situation going to be cleared up? Are the weapons on the outside, you know, is Wandell Robinson the player that he's kind of hyped up to be, is the defense, you know, the defense lost a couple of pretty significant pieces. How are they going to be able to adapt? The offensive line obviously lost a couple absolute anchors, longtime anchors on there. You know, how do they respond on that front? And so I was kind of in wait and see mode. There were a lot of people that even before open practices started and before even fall camp started, that they were just kind of chalking it up. Oh, you know, 8-4, 9-3, 10-2 type deal. I got to see a couple of the open practices, and I mean, I left there going, no chance they don't go, you know, 8-4, 9-3, 10-2, that range. I mean, my biggest question was at quarterback, is Will Levis what he's cracked up to be? He's absolutely that and more. I was just blown away with how easy and just kind of effortless all of his balls were, and how he just made something out of nothing, all, you know, 9 times out of 10, and how he just doesn't miss. Like, you know, it wasn't a live setting. Haven't gotten to see him in an actual game with real refs, and you know, there's something to be said about a live game action versus even a scrimmage setting in practice. But from what you can see behind the scenes and you know, in practice, he is everything that everybody kind of hypes him up to be, is that NFL talent, NFL arm, that big just absolute rocket, but he has the accuracy to match it. And once I saw that, everything else kind of fell into place. The receivers, he makes the receivers look better than they are. Wandell Robinson is who everybody hypes him up to be. The tight ends, you know, I wish Keaton Upshaw were there, and I think that would have, you know, raised the ceiling of this team even further, but still got a lot of talent there. You just look look across the board, and it's really hard to find holes in the entire roster from top to bottom. I mean, they have the depth, they have the experience, they have the talent. And I think that's kind of the makings of like one of those 2018 type teams. You have the Chris Rodriguez, Benny Snell kind of anchor of, you know, that's going to be the leader of your offense. You have, you know, stars on the defensive end. I think they have all the pieces in place to have a very special season. I would probably lean 9-3. I think that's kind of where I'm leaning right now. I tend to be a little bit more on the optimistic side, but I'm very, very excited for this team. I think that they have quite a lot of potential to do something pretty special.
I'm going
to
edit the 9-3 out and say Jack Pilgrim says cats to Atlanta.
Jay was kind of on the side where he felt like they did Joey Gatewood a little dirty. Yeah. And I was like, you know, yeah, they wanted Will Levis, but they had to see it. So from what you're saying, it was pretty obvious that there was a separation from Will Levis to the other quarterbacks on the roster. And that there was no reason to not name him the number one guy.
Undoubtedly. I went in thinking that Joey Gatewood was going to be kind of a neck and neck. Like you'd see Will Levis throw a ball and then Joey would respond right afterward with something special of his own. It was Levis, 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 Levis for 45 yards, you know, over the shoulder, beautiful in stride touchdown. And then, you know, sideline 25 yard out route where, you know, beautiful pass. Like, I mean, it was just one thing after the other, and you'd wait for Joey to give you that yin and yang, that response, like, oh, we do have ourselves a little competition. And it just wasn't there. Joey has all the physical tools, but it just didn't feel like it just felt like he fell short every single, you know, every time the there was an opportunity for competition there. And I think that's kind of what Stoops saw, and that's what the, you know, Liam Cohen and the rest of the offensive staff saw, is, you know, at what point is enough enough? And I think they lean toward Will going into the spring. I think they signed Will with under the assumption that he would end up starting. And, you know, Jay, I understand why that would kind of, you know, ruffle your feathers right, with a guy right. like Joey, who right. when Terry left was probably thinking, sweet, this
it's
is my team.
It's my spot. Right. Yeah.
I understand that, but I do truly think that they let the process play out. I think Joey had a solid spring. I think during the summer, you know, some of the summer months, they weren't able to have organized practices, but they were able to see some of the workouts. I think Joey did look pretty good. And I do think that they were doing some damage control, because there were, you know, people out there, you know, my, you know, KSR were, you know, they're going on the radio saying 98% chance Will Levis is your starter. And that might've been true, but they were hoping that wouldn't get back to, you know, Joey Gatewood, and Joey sitting there going, why am I still here? I could be, you know, putting right. my name in the portal right now. So I think there was they wanted to let the process play out and truly give Joey his opportunity to, you know, potentially take that starting job. But also, you know, I do think that Will had, you know, kind of an edge going into things. And I think that he confirmed that every stop along the way, you know, summer workouts, then obviously when fall camp started, I think it was just kind of everything Will did was just, you know, you hate to be blunt about it, but just better than Joey.
Right.
Everything
right.
that he did was just
better. Do you think it was kind of a system fit too for why Will Levis performed better than what Joey did? Because Joey probably seems more like I said to Jay, an RPO type quarterback, doing that read option offense, getting out and running the ball at times. And Will kind of seems like he fits more of a pro style type offense that Liam Cohen's going to run.
Yeah.
Do you think Okay.
Completely agree with that. I think the brand was kind of getting stale there. I mean, the recruiting pitch to receivers was just falling short. They were not able to get recruits, you know, high level receiver, receivers into the, you know, even on campus for visits, let alone getting their signatures, because every time they go, oh, you know, put down, you know, in the future, this is what our offense is going to look like. And I'd be like, well, you know, I've seen the last 3 years what this team has looked like. And it's been, you know, you're going to run the ball, you know, 50, 60 times a game and throw it 15, 20 and throw for 100 yards. I'm not going to be able to fit into this offense. And I think that there was and it worked at its peak, you know, with Benny Snell, Big Blue Wall. At its peak, it was Eddie Grain was, you know, tip your cap to him. He absolutely ran the show. It for what that team needed, Eddie Grain was perfect for it.
Right.
This team, I think other teams have kind of caught on to that. The other talent around him, you don't have a superstar, can't miss, you know, one of the best players of all time in Kentucky football history, like Benny Snell. You don't have that. You know, you have some other complimentary pieces, but this team was in desperate need of a rebranding. And right. to sell tickets, to get recruits in, to win games. I mean, they were losing games because just that system wasn't working. They were predictable. Other teams were catching on. They needed to kind of rebrand themselves. And I think that's exactly what Liam Cohen did. So I completely agree. I think Joe Gatewood would have been the perfect Eddie Grant quarterback post Terry Wilson. But I think the writing was on the wall when, you know, no matter how physically gifted Joey might be, I completely agree. I think schematically, it was just kind of Will Levis was head over, shoulders ahead of Joey in that.
Let me ask you this. Would it have been a better competition if Joey Gatewood ate a whole banana?
You know, I think that probably would have done it. I think if he would have done
an orange,
you got to be a little bit different. You can't do this. Right. You can't copy him.
Right.
But if it would have been a little bit more, you know, bigger or a different, you know, something not as easy, I think it would have been a little bit more of a challenge for him.
Maybe make a banana pudding.
I'm all about some banana pudding. I agree there.
Right. But we're all excited about Kentucky football a couple weeks away. And it's just, you know, I'm saying 10-2 with a bowl win. Of course, I'm always optimistic, but that's just the kind of fan I am. But everyone's excited, and hopefully we get, you know, the crowds back and everything goes good. Wear your mask, all that stuff. So switching lanes into some basketball. Couple recruits coming to town. Adem Bona, is that how you say his name?
Although I think today
he has rescheduled. I believe Big Blue Madness weekend is what was being put out there.
Okay,
yes,
is what they're targeting. Yeah, so
a couple big recruits coming to town soon.
So right. Kaysen Wallace is going to be here tomorrow, I think, is when he today's the 25th. So 26th is when he's scheduled to come in. I think this is kind of my outside looking in thing. I think that they are kind of wanting to put the full court press on Kaysen Wallace and let this visit be entirely about him. Let this kind of be there's not really an event for Adem Bona to be here for. And I also think that they wanted to kind of get his last visit. I think that they're going to push for a commitment on his visit. And I think that they were kind of wanting to let the process play out just a little bit more. So they wanted to kind of make sure they got the last visit, do it for some, you know, an actual event. So it's going to be Big Blue Madness, going to get some other big time recruits in. And I wouldn't be shocked if you see a commitment shortly after that. I know he's going to be an early signing period guy. And I'm not sweating Kentucky in the slightest in that one. If there's one player I'm fairly confident is going to be at Kentucky, it's definitely Adem Bona. But I do think that UK is trending for Kaysen Wallace too. And I think that might've been part of it. They usually don't like, unless it's a big, like Big Blue Madness weekend, they don't like the kids kind of overlapping their visits with one another. That's right. Why I think that visit that weekend with Brandon Miller, Chris Livingston, and Derek Lively, I think it was that weekend, they kind of staggered them every 2 days or whatever it was. This one, I think Dem was going to get here Friday. Kaysen was going to get here tomorrow. So I think they would have overlapped a little bit too much. And they like to kind of give their own individual spiels for each kid and kind of make them feel like, hey, here's why you are important for this roster, not why you guys are important for this roster. So I think that this is Kaysen Wallace's weekend, and I think that it's a good move on Kentucky's part. I think this was initiated by Kentucky to push things back. So I would not stress this at all. I definitely feel good about where things stand for both of them, really.
Yeah, if we're being honest, I was expecting Bona to commit this weekend if he was here because of all the smoke and everything that's been coming out from that recruitment and from his side. So I don't think him postponing it, you know, a couple of months is really going to change that. It's just going to put Kentucky will be right there, the final thing in his mind, his final visit, and it'll be done with.
Yeah. I mean, I think this moves so fast anyway, that I look, he only got to the States in November. So maybe last October, I think. I mean, the dude has literally been in America for less than a year. So, but, I mean, we're not even talking about this process playing, this recruitment playing out fast. We're talking about his basketball career, his American basketball career playing out way faster than I think a lot of people anticipated. I think he got here in either September, October of last year. I saw him in May or early June, I think, at the Pangos All-American Camp. Didn't even know who this kid was. I got a phone call that said, you need to go watch this Adembona kid over in the other court. He's desperately in love with Kentucky, and he's going to commit if he gets an offer. And I was like, don't even know who this kid is, but I'm going to go watch him. I watched he was actually going up against Jalen Duren, and it was neck and neck. I mean, just they were kind of trading baskets, physical back and forth. I mean, it was just like two juggernauts going at each other. It was amazing. Just that, love that game. And that's when I was like, oh, wow, this kid might be something special. And then you heard of Kentucky's contact ramping up from there, And I heard that if he ever got his offer, he'd commit on the spot. So when this offer came, I was under the assumption, JD, like what you said, I was thinking they extended the offer a couple weeks in advance, so the big commitment would happen during the visit.
Right.
And I think he's from Turkey. He's originally from Nigeria, I believe. He's been in Turkey since he was 13 years old. But he has handlers. He's kind of one of those hectic, several people in his camp that I think wanted to make sure that some other people that had some voices in his camp got some visits taken care of, or, at least letting the process play out a little bit more. So I think that's why Baylor is involved, and they're letting the process play out just a little bit more before he just signs on the dotted line, doesn't even look at any other schools, just says, screw it, I'm all in on Kentucky. So I've heard nothing but good things. I think that he's just absolutely in love with Kentucky, and until I hear anything otherwise, I would not even sweat this postponement. And I mean, it was, and again, we need to establish it was initiated by Kentucky. So this was a Kentucky move to make sure they got the last visit, do it during a big event that, it would be a cool one to commit at, or, whatever. I don't think there's anything to sweat about. I still feel pretty, pretty good about Kentucky landing Adembona.
And Rivals just released their new rankings, and pretty much everybody Kentucky is recruiting, though, is ranked now in their top 20. Sky Clark, Kaysen Wallace, Adembona, Derek Lively, Shaedon Sharpe. Is it more of a fact of they've blown up as far as the recruits, which we all know Shaedon Sharpe has in the last year or so?
Right.
Or is it also a combination of the new staff being able to create relationships with these more elite players, also playing into the fact that when you look at who Kentucky's recruiting now, it's not those kids are just at the top that they want to get, probably aren't going to get because the contact isn't the greatest with our staff. And then you drop down to kids that are ranked like where Lance Ware was, down in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. Mm-hmm. And now everyone in that new ranking from Rivals, I didn't get a chance to look at On3's rankings. I'm sorry, Jack. But I know you guys had Shaedon Sharpe number one. So you're in agreement with Rivals there. Is it more on the player side blowing up, and that's what's change the level of the recruit they're recruiting, or the coaches, or a combination of both?
I mean, think of UK's eye for talent. I mean, look, Shaedon Sharpe, when UK offered, I think was like 86 in the country.
Something like that, yeah.
And everybody was like, four-star kid from Canada. Nobody's really ever heard of him. So the story behind that is Dwayne Washington is the head coach at UPlay Canada, who also produced Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, was there for RJ Barrett, some of the best Canadian players in that country's history, and especially recent years, went through Dwayne Washington, who's the director and coach of that program. John Calipari has infinite trust in his basketball eye, and he reached out to Coach Cal and said, Shaedon Sharpe is your guy. Don't look anywhere else. He's going to be the next fill in the blank. He told me that he wants to be the next Jamal Murray type, one or two, can play on, off ball, bring the ball up the floor type deal, but just an absolute smoke show shooter. He approached Coach Cal about that. So that's why, I mean, I think it was a cut and dry. He brought forth Shaedon Sharpe to Coach Cal and said, hey, this is your guy. He said, you have an offer. I think it was that simple. And then that's kind of where he blew up from there. So give Dwayne Washington the assist on that for the alley-oop to Coach Cal. But Cal had to trust in him to extend an offer before he became, you know, number one ranked Shaedon Sharpe. So eye for talent there. Derek Lively, I know UK has been on him since the spring. I saw him for the first time when he was like 54 overall. And I saw him and I was like, I don't know what the other 53 players in the country do or why they're better than this kid, but this is Willie Cauley signed with a jumper. I mean, this is one of the best kids I've seen with my own two eyes. And, you know, you started seeing him jump to the 20s, the 30s. I think he went to like 24 by ESPN, I think. And then from there, he jumped to like 15 to 12 range. And then I think somebody moved him up to 8. And then I think somebody jumped him all the way up to like 3 or 2 or something like that. So that's kind of been but that was another one. UK saw that him from the start, extended or didn't extend an offer until he was kind of in that 20-ish, top 15-ish range. But when it was kind of pretty clear that he was the fastest rising big in the class, Kyle Filipowski, he was a guy that committed to Duke, but I was, at Peach Jam talking to people very, very close to the program that they were all in on. Kyle Filipowski said, I think he's going to be one of the best players in the class. He jumps 43 spots to number five in the country in Riley. So I also think it's just an eye for talent as well on top. I do think it's establishing these relationships early with guys that, Chris Livingston's a guy that's been ranked high in that class for a long time. They've developed a really good relationship with him, have for a while. Kaysen Wallace, he's always been in that top 15 range. UK's been talking with him for a while. And shoot, look at Sky Clark, who is committed. They had an eye. I mean, he could have committed his sophomore year if he wanted to. He's been a diehard UK fan. So, and I know that's, that was kind of the Joel Justice move and all that, but that was also signed off on by Cal. If Cal didn't approve him, he wouldn't have gotten an offer in the first place. So I do think it's a combination of both, of building relationships early, but it's also knowing, having an eye for this talent well in advance before some of these other guys. And that's why UK is in such a great position with Shaedon Sharpe, Derek Lively, and you go down the list, Kaysen Wallace, I think they're in decent position with Chris Livingston. So you just go down the list. I think it's definitely a combination of both. I think they've knocked it out of the park so far. Now we just got to see actual commitments happen.
Right.
Well, Big Blue Nation, there you have it. Jack Pilgrim, appreciate you coming through, man, with your time, but there's something serious to talk about. We and Big Blue Nation would like to know also about bestbuddieschampion.org.
Oh, well, that's nice. I appreciate you guys asking about that. So Best Buddies has been a part of my life for 7-8 years now. It's something I've been doing since high school. It's basically a one-on-one opportunity to pair up with individuals with special needs. And you take them to the movies, you take them bowling, you go, do all this really cool stuff and kind of give them a one-on-one mentor, a friend, something that's best buddies. And there's a kid that my very first best buddy that I ever got with this organization that I started in high school, his name's Corey. He became one of my best friends very early. I've hung out with him almost every week. I think 7 years straight. We go play basketball at the gym. We go to sporting events together. We just do. He was in my wedding back in October or September, I believe. So just good. You go down the list. It's just an awesome organization that really kind of allows for really cool one-on-one friendships. And I got I'm very grateful to be nominated for Best Buddies Champion of the Year. It's kind of a big fundraiser in it's nationwide, but it's a state by state thing where I'm competing against some other awesome individuals that are also very passionate about this organization. And it's a fundraising competition. So I'm raising a bunch of money, trying to raise a bunch of money for this awesome cause. And hopefully if I win, I'll be crowned champion of the year for 2021. So it's definitely something I'm very excited about, and I'm all in. I think I have six weeks to go. It's an 8-week fundraiser. So yeah, I'm all in on it. And if whoever's listening to this, if you have anything at all counts, it's I'd be grateful for anything. So yeah,
your goal is 3,000, right?
It is. So, I think I'm right at 1,000 right now. So right.
So how would one go and donate?
I have the link. I posted it on my Twitter page. I posted it on my Facebook, and I'm planning on sending a couple more links out here. I don't want to overload people with constant thing, because then it kind of turns, people start ignoring it. So I kind of want to. I'll probably hit refresh. I did it once last week, I think, and so I'll do it again. I think this week as well. So just kind of hit refresh and get people to remember to donate. And like I said,
this is one of those things that is real, and people should be involved. Get you to that goal. To me, it seems like an easy goal to reach. So I don't think Big Blue Nation should have a problem getting Jack there. You can follow Jack at Jack Pilgrim KSR.
Oh, man, I'm very, very grateful for you guys, and I appreciate the opportunity.
I appreciate you spending so much time with us. We've gone here for 50 minutes. I'm like, damn, we got Jack Pilgrim for 50 minutes, man. I know he's busy. He's like, man, I got to go.
Than we normally try to do.
So definitely we definitely appreciate your time, man. Yeah, so thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely.
And big shout out to you. And of course, on Twitter, I'm going to be putting the rumors out there. The great Jack Pilgrim says, cats to Atlanta. Not really. Jay Hay said that, but it's all fun. It's all fun.
I'm for it. I love it. I appreciate you guys anytime.
All right, man. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yep. Thank you.
Man, Jack Pilgrim, always a delight to have Jack on, man. A lot of knowledge. I'm at one point, I was like, huh? What? Take a note. What he said about him?
I like these kind of episodes because we're not just asking questions.
Right. It's a conversation.
I like the episodes where we just have a conversation and let it go where it wants to go.
Right.
And we just, we have a list of topics that we kind of want to hit, but.
Yeah. I mean, we have talking points.
Yeah. These episodes are great because, and I've said it before and I'll keep saying it, we've gotten some really good people on with us that make it easy for us to have these conversations.
Right, right. So follow Jack at Jack Pilgrim KSR and get involved. Big Blue, $3,000 is not, that's a good goal. Should be easy to hit. BestBuddiesChampion.org. BestBuddiesChampion.org. Jack Pilgrim at Jack Pilgrim KSR. Get involved. Do your part. I'm going to get involved and do my part. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
So we're getting ready for football. I'm excited. And I'm not budging. Everybody's like, come on, Jay, man. You know the cats ain't. I'm like, dude, I'm trying to tell you. We're going to Atlanta.
I'm really optimistic. Uh-oh. I'm not changing my prediction yet.
Yeah, and JD, your prediction is 8-4. That's not bad.
I'm staying at that 8-4 until I see what happens in those first couple of games.
Right.
If what happens is enough to change my expectation, then I might go up to that 9-3, 10-2, win the East, go to Atlanta level.
Yeah. Well, after your first prediction, you can't change it, JD. You can't jump on the Jay Hayes train then, JD.
It's just like as you learn more things about a situation, everything changes.
Right.
So I always preface my prediction before of how it might change depending on what I see on the field.
Right.
So it's getting close. First game I'm going to be able to see will be the Missouri game because I work next weekend. And I'll actually be at the Missouri game with my wife. So, I'm excited for that.
I'll be there.
I'm excited to get that beat down revenge game.
Everybody's like, oh, Missouri. Missouri ain't shit. We're going to beat we are going to beat the brakes off of Missouri. I'll be like, I don't even see why people think.
Louisville brought in a coach from App State.
Yeah.
Right? His first year there, they outdid the expectations of what they were supposed to do that first year.
Right.
Second year, everything caught up with them. And they were a shit show.
Yep.
Right?
Still a shit show.
Missouri's in the same boat. They brought in a one-year coach from App State who in his first year exceeded expectations because nobody had any tape on Drinkwitz and what they were going to do as a program with him as head coach.
Right.
Second year is going to be a different story. And I'm a firm believer that there's going to be a drop off for Missouri football after last year.
Yeah. And everybody's like, oh, Missouri is
surprising anybody this year.
I'm worried about Missouri. If we can get, man, I'm telling you, we are going to beat the brakes off of Missouri.
The same thing. We've got to get past the Missouri game. They've got to win that game for that mind to really change.
Right.
But I don't have any reason to believe they're not going to win that game.
Right, right.
Because it wasn't just Missouri that beat Kentucky last year. Kentucky beat Kentucky last year because mm-hmm. you can tell everything on the field was different because that was the first game that John Schlarman missed.
Yeah.
The players that were out on the field playing didn't seem as fired up. The players that were on the sidelines didn't seem as fired up. The coaching staff, just everything you just seemed off.
Kentucky beat Kentucky.
So to expect that to happen again,
nah,
not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
That's the fact, Jack.
And now you know what time it is.
You big dummy.
Warning. The following segment may be offensive to some. It may cause you to be angry. Don't be a dumbass. Some of you will laugh at these dumbasses. It is what it is. Think before you put dumb shit on Twitter. Brought to you by Jay Hayes and JD Hall.
The dumbest shit on Twitter this week. What you got, JD?
Well, there wasn't much out there until the last couple of days.
Well, there's always a lot out there, but we both have busy schedules.
Right. There wasn't as much obvious stuff out there until people's predictions for the East and football started coming out.
Well, let's start with an old buddy. Big game boomer. One yeah. team that every school is secretly scared to play this season. Does anyone in the Big Blue Nation want to guess who Kentucky is scared to play this season? Or who Kentucky is scared of by Big Game Boomer, what he is saying.
Right. What did we just talk about? Really saying that Kentucky is scared to play Missouri. Really? I can see that Louisville's scared to play Kentucky because of the way that we've kind of stomped them the last few years. But there's no way in hell Kentucky's football team is afraid to play Missouri.
Or Louisville.
Or Louisville, depending on how you read this chart.
Right. Because the way I'm looking at it, he's got Kentucky scared to play Louisville.
Or the team that's scared is Louisville. So, like, it's not really a cut and dry chart. So either
big
way.
Big game boomer. We ain't scared of nobody.
No.
We want Bama. I want Ohio State. I got some Ohio State friends, and they talk big shit.
I got a lot of Ohio State fans.
I want Ohio State, even though they probably got the best wide receivers in the country.
Probably.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, just come on, big game boomer. Dude.
He's just a troll.
That's just
dumb. A troll for SEC.
And then we got Jay. I don't even change your name, dude. Jay Pops.
Yeah. You want me to read it? Georgia, I see, goes 12-0 also with Florida behind them and Kentucky in the third or fourth spot. They have no QB at the moment.
How did you miss Kentucky's QB that went viral eating a full banana? Kentucky has a QB.
Kentucky has a QB. And if, as Kentucky fans, all we've wanted the last couple of years is average quarterback play. And if we would have gotten average quarterback play, we would have had 8, 9, 10 win seasons the last 2 years. Right? And we all know where we struggle, how bad we struggled at the quarterback position. If Will Levis is just average, Kentucky's going to turn some heads.
Right. I'm tired of people saying Kentucky's going to come in second behind Georgia in the East. Kentucky ain't coming in behind nobody. Kentucky's winning the East. What are you talking about? Wake up. Quit sleeping on Kentucky.
Well, second is a lot better than what we got from Scott Mullis.
I'm not taking second. We taking first. We SEC, we taking first. Kentucky, quit sleeping.
Scott Mullis here This week was Georgia, Alabama, Florida, and Texas A&M are the top four, but it's tight, especially the top two. Next three, Auburn, LSU, and Ole Miss are trying to get into that top four. Missouri, a dark horse, and Arkansas can surprise some. After that, it's the bottom of the barrel and some lower.
We the bottom of the barrel?
And some lower. He had Kentucky 10th in his power rankings of the SEC.
And that's why this tweet is on the dumbest shit.
Right.
From Twitter this week.
And then he goes off to say, you know, to try and justify it, saying he's got a podcast and he's watched SEC football since the early 70s and covered SEC and pro football, too, for well over 20 years in the media. If Kentucky wins conference games, I assure you they will move up. Scott at Big J Report. Check out our podcast. Like,
no.
But you're automatically assuming Kentucky's not going to win SEC games if you put them at 10th.
Right.
And saying that Arkansas and Missouri are trying to get into that top four in the top half of the SEC? Come on, man. Come on.
Stay off the weed. Who is Snoop Dogg in a green room? Not even
that. Freaking meth is a terrible drug. Come on.
I'm going to have to put the "this is your eggs on drugs" clip right here. And to end the dumbest shit from Twitter this week, Pat H. If you think Stoops is even a good coach, then you go to a lot of carnivals. I can see where this is going. No signature wins. Claiborne, at least first-class guy and new football. Brooks, Ole Miss. Ole ball coach had some great wins. I said through so many losses and good wins. Stoops, ha!
What? No signature wins. You mean like Florida in the Swamp? Mm. Penn State in the Citrus Bowl?
Damn.
Tennessee and Knoxville?
Wowzers.
Signature wins like that?
Yeah. That was Terry Wilson, wasn't it?
Yeah. Did Brooks win in Knoxville?
Damn.
No, he didn't. Did Brooks win in the Swamp? No, he didn't.
Damn.
Brooks was great for the program. But he wasn't head and shoulders above anybody else. He beat LSU when they were ranked number one, and he beat Louisville. To me, those are his two signature wins when he was at the University of Kentucky.
Come on, Pat.
And Stoops' record in the SEC is better than what Brooks had. So Stoops inherited a terrible roster.
A mess. A hot mess.
It was terrible. Like, if we're being honest, it was not an SEC roster.
It was a damn hot mess.
It takes time. And it takes time to build your roster back to where you're going to be competitive in the SEC. And you saw glimpses of that when they started 5-1.
Yeah. When you say,
they went through that gauntlet.
When people say Stoops' name, winning culture goes with that.
Absolutely. He changed the perception and the expectation of Kentucky football. That's why our fans are pissed off if they go 7-5.
Right.
Right? Because they're expecting more.
We win in the East this year. I said it. Yeah, I said it. Hey, and this is the dumbest shit from Twitter this week. Man.
Right.
You can't see the video. You're listening to the podcast, but JD is just, when we're going through the dumbest shit, he's just shaking his head like, I can't even read this, dude. Like, it's horrible. Hard, man. It's horrible.
It's
like, some people's takes are just like, and I get it. Everyone has an opinion. Okay.
Yes.
But when it's that bad, you're going to be on the dumbest shit from Twitter this week. And that's that. And that's how it is.
Yep. Yep.
So, but yeah, man, great show, man. Jack Pilgrim.
Jack was awesome.
Follow Jack if you're not already following Jack. Follow Jack at Jack Pilgrim KSR. And you can check out the Best Buddies Champion at bestbuddieschampion.org. Support that, man. Help Jack get to his goal.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you see some of the dumbest shit on Twitter, send it our way. We'll talk about it and have fun with it. That's all this segment is we're just having fun with it.
Poking
fun.
Screenshot. Take a screenshot of it and DM it to us.
Yeah, because a lot of those...
That way if somebody deletes it, it ain't gone.
Yeah, because a lot of those people do that. So now we're waiting on FanFest to be rescheduled, and we believe we got that. And probably we'll hear something. You can rewind to the back, and Jack might have touched on that. And then we got football a couple weeks away, real close. A couple big recruits coming to town soon, and that's where we are.
Before we say bye, we're going to be gone for a couple weeks because next week I have to work, and I have no free time to record an episode.
Yeah.
So we won't be able to record again until probably September 9th. So that'll be right before the Missouri game.
Right.
Before we can record another episode for you guys. So it'll be a couple weeks. I talked about it on Spaces last night. I'm not going to be on there for the next couple of weeks. So
we'll be back.
We'll be back
for the kickoff.
We got to take a week off next week before the first game, so you won't have an episode from us before that. Right. Unless Jay wants to come on here and jump on and record a solo episode about it.
I might do a little something silly, something fun. But anyway,
you'll get another full episode back the following week before the Missouri games.
Yeah, so go back and check some of these episodes out and hear some of the great guests that we have on. I mean, we've had Yusuf Corker on, Justin Rogers. Jack Pilgrim, Zach Gagan,
Justin Rowland.
Yeah, Justin Rowland.
A couple times, yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
And, you know, we talk about basketball recruiting with Jack today. The guys that cover football recruiting are on a completely different level than the guys that cover basketball recruiting.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many names out there that they've got to try and keep track of and follow. And, like, the work that they got to put in, I couldn't do it. That's why, I'll talk more about basketball recruiting with people than I will football recruiting, because I don't have the time or whatever to go out and find all the information for all the players that they're recruiting. You know, you got coaches extending offers to recruits in the 2024 class.
That's why when JD has Justin Rowland coming on, I'm like, what are we talking about? Oh, damn.
Whatever Justin wants to talk about.
Whatever Justin wants to talk about.
Right.
That's what it is.
So,
but yeah, man. So check it out. Big Blue Nation, I'm your guy, Jay Hayes, and he is
JD Hall.
And we are the coolest motherfuckers on the planet. That's right. We are Religiously Kentucky.
This was another episode of Religiously Kentucky.
It was great. Thanks for the hospitality.
If you liked this episode, make sure to give us a like and subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes and our opinionated take on the world of Kentucky sports. Religiously Kentucky.